the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network presents Vatican Insider with Joan Lewis. Each week, Joan brings you news from inside the Vatican and the Church around the world, as well as interviews and answers to your questions. Now, here's the host of Vatican Insider, Joan Lewis.
Welcome to Vatican Insider at an exciting time for Pope Leo, as we follow him in Africa on his third international apostolic trip, traveling in Algeria, Cameroon, Angola, and Equatorial Guinea. Now, after the news summary, stay tuned for my special guest this week in the interview segment, Andreas Widmer, a professor at the Catholic University of America's Bush School of Business since the fall of 2012. Among the books Andreas has written are The Pope and the CEO, John Paul II's Leadership Lessons to a Young Swiss Guard, and The Art of Principled Entrepreneurship, Creating Enduring Values. This week and next, we will talk about a fascinating new development in the world of MBA degrees, linking Catholic social teaching courses to MBA courses. Stay tuned for that after the news. If you already guessed, Andreas was a former Swiss Guard. Now the news highlights of the week. Sunday, April 12th, before packing his bags for that 10-day trip to Africa, the Holy Father had a very busy weekend, whose highlight was a prayer vigil and rosary in St. Peter's Basilica Saturday evening. It was attended by such an overflow crowd that many faithful had to watch the vigil on mega screens in the square, but Leo briefly addressed the faithful outside before entering the basilica. Saturday was one of his most vocal, most heartfelt, most powerful appeals for peace of his entire pontificate. In prayer, he said, "Our limited human possibilities are joined to the infinite possibilities of God. Thoughts, words, and deeds then break the demonic cycle of evil and are placed at the service of the kingdom of God, a kingdom in which there is no sword, no drone, no vengeance, no trivialization of evil, no unjust profit, but only dignity, understanding, and forgiveness. To the leaders of the nations we cry out, stop. It is time for peace. Sit at the table of dialogue and mediation, not at the table where rearmament is planned and deadly actions are decided." At the Regina Caeli Sunday, the Holy Father asked for prayers for his apostolic trip. Monday, April 13th, Pope Leo arrived in Algeria, the first of the four African nations he will visit on his 10-day third international apostolic journey. As we said, he'll also visit Cameroon, Angola, and Equatorial Guinea before returning to Rome on April 23rd. As a messenger of peace, Pope Leo spent an intense day in Algiers, where he met with government authorities, visited a mosque, met with a community of Augustinian missionary sisters, and prayed with the Algerian community. He encouraged the Christian community in Algeria to remain rooted in prayer, charity, and unity, and he praised their quiet witness, urging them to be a sign of peace and fraternity. Meeting with the civil authorities of Algeria, Leo XIV called for societies to foster oases of peace in which human life and dignity are recognized as inviolable and never exploited. During his visit to the Grand Mosque of Algiers, Leo highlighted its role as a sacred space for prayer, dialogue, and the search for God, and he called for mutual respect and peace-building. Later, in a private visit to a community run by missionary Augustinian sisters, Leo XIV highlighted the enduring witness of martyrdom, and he encouraged a renewed commitment to peace, dignity, and respect for differences. Tuesday, April 14th. Algeria is a kind of spiritual homecoming for Leo, the first Augustinian pope. He has visited Algeria previously as head of the Augustinian order, but this time it was a memorable trip as he is now the successor of St. Peter. On Tuesday, he flew to the northeastern port city of Annaba, the former ancient city of Hippo, home to St. Augustine. He visited an archaeological site, a nursing home of the Little Sisters of the Poor, and later in the day had a private meeting with the members of the Augustinian order, after which he celebrated Mass at the Basilica of St. Augustine before flying back to Algiers. at this very joyous gathering of faith, pilgrims, university students, and men and women religious from all over the world, including Tunisia, Uganda, and even Brazil. They all braved the wind and rain to attend the celebration in the church perched high on a hill in the coastal city of Annaba. Wednesday, April 15th. After a brief visit to a church-run orphanage in Algiers, Pope Leo boarded the papal plane and flew to Cameroon for the second leg of his trip to four African nations. On board, Leo XIV reflected with journalists on his time in Algeria, calling it a special blessing for me personally and a wonderful opportunity to continue to build bridges and promote dialogue. Addressing the authorities, representatives of civil society, and members of the diplomatic corps at the presidential palace in Yaoundé, shortly after his arrival in Cameroon, Pope Leo XIV delivered an appeal for peace, justice, and renewed commitment to the common good, urging Cameroonians to draw on their rich diversity as a source of unity and strength. Describing Cameroon as Africa in miniature for its cultural and natural richness, he said, "This variety is not weakness, but a treasure. It represents a promise of fraternity and a solid foundation for building lasting peace. Peace must be embraced and lived," he said, "not just a slogan." Later, Pope Leo visited the Ngoula Zamba orphanage in Yaoundé, and he encouraged children who have faced hardships to see themselves as part of a loving family, thanking caregivers for their dedicated service and saying, "No one is forgotten." Thursday, April 16th, in the midst of a pause in the ongoing violence in Cameroon, Leo XIV traveled to Bamenda, an English-speaking city located in the troubled northwestern region of the country, which is at the center of a decade-long conflict known as the Anglophone Crisis. Speaking at a meeting dedicated to peace, in some of the most passionate language he's used, Leo warned against the masters of war who pretend not to know that it takes only a minute to destroy, yet often a lifetime is not enough to build. These people turn a blind eye to the fact that billions of dollars are spent on killing and devastation, yet the resources needed for healing, education, and restoration are nowhere to be found. The Pope said, "Woe to those who manipulate religion for military or political gain." Friday, April 17th. Pope Leo XIV celebrated Mass in Douala at Japoma Stadium on his third day in Cameroon, and he urged young people to reject every form of abuse or violence and to always show hospitality and care for one another. "Do not give in to distrust and discouragement. Reject every form of abuse or violence which deceives by promising easy gains but hardens the heart and makes it insensitive. Do not forget that your people are even richer than this land, for your treasure lies in your values, faith, family, hospitality, and work." Pope Leo invited African youth to follow the vocation that God sets out for them, so that they may be protagonists of their own future. "Do not let yourselves be corrupted by temptations that waste your energies, and do not serve the progress of society." The papal trip ends April 23rd, so stay tuned in coming days for news. But now, my conversation with Andreas Widmer.
Proclaiming the faith, changing lives.
The year was 1992. EWTN launches WEWN, the world's largest privately owned shortwave radio facility, to a potential worldwide listening audience of 600 million.
To learn more about Mother Angelica's life and the history of EWTN, visit EWTN.com/Mother Angelica.
EWTN has launched new YouTube channels dedicated to what you love most. From EWTN News, Daily Mass and Devotions, EWTN Shows, Radio, Religious Catalog, and Kids, it's all part of our mission to help you grow closer to God through the programs that matter most to you. Visit our main YouTube channel and explore the new navigation bar and subscribe to the channels that speak to your heart. Wherever you are on your journey of faith, there's an EWTN YouTube channel made for you.
This is Monsignor Chuck Kosanke. We need Catholic radio to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ to the whole world. It's a modern means to reach the hearts and minds of Catholics and all people, and to have the Church's teaching proclaimed and taught authentically, and also to convey the Church's news from an authentic perspective.
The world needs EWTN Catholic Radio, now more than ever.
Welcome back to Vatican Insider. Here's Joan Lewis.
I want to welcome my listeners to another special edition of Vatican Insider and the interview segment, which today features a long-standing friend of mine, Andreas Widmer, former Swiss Guard. You've probably even read his book about his years at the Vatican and the Pope and the CEO, how John Paul's leadership were lessons for a Swiss Guard that he's brought into his life right up to this very day that we're speaking. Andreas is currently the director of the Sioka Center for Principled Entrepreneurship and is associate professor of practice at CUA, is Catholic University of America, at their Bush School of Business. You've been there since 2012. And actually, though business is not my field. I forgot to welcome you to the show, of course.
Thanks,
back
Joe.
To the show. We've done interviews before. I was fascinated by the idea of MBAs, and that's what I want to talk about today. Not that business is my background, the Church and its social teaching is, but all of a sudden, Andreas, we're looking at a link between the two.
Yeah.
A business degree, and the Church's social teaching. And the reason this fascinates me is just Monday of this week, there was a dinner at a nearby restaurant with a number of the students from the MBA program. And you invited three of us, including a current Swiss Guard, Stefan, to speak, and of course Frank Rocha, who's with EWTN. Just some of our background on three very different things, Swiss Guards, journalism, and so I had done some research just so that I sounded intelligent to your to your young guest. I had done some research, and this is what really struck me. How many schools, and I believe CUA is the leader in this, are incorporating the Church's social teaching into their MBA programs? And at the very day I was doing research, email popped up from the Holy See Mission in Geneva. And our man there, Archbishop Balestrero, he was giving a talk on international financial obligations of states on the full enjoyment of all human rights, particularly economic, social, and cultural. So there's that link between finances and economic, you know, and the social teaching of the Church. Now, explain to our listeners what we mean by social teaching.
Yeah. So thanks so much for having me. It's always a joy to be here. I admire your work, and I'm a super fan, so it's good to be on the other side. Usually I listen to this or read it, so I'm glad to be here. The social teaching of the Church is really the 2,000+ years of the Church having figured out how humans best live together. How do you create a society that enables human flourishing, which is what we call the common good, like where everybody can flourish? And there's several principles that were formulated in this. It started to be formulated in a more official way through Leo XIII with Rerum Novarum.
1891, yeah.
And since then has been sort of more and more formulated or explained. I think it's to understand, I think this has always been a part of the Christian teaching, but it's just being explained more today. And it has to do with the centrality of the human person, with our goal of going to heaven, and how we achieve that by becoming excellent and being, in a sense, a force for good. So there's all kinds of principles or concepts in there. I have a beautiful book that I want to share with everybody that listens to this. I did some research on this together with Cardinal Turkson back when, and I think I was on your show once before, which I called the Catholic Social Teaching Mental Model Project, where I researched how many Americans, actually Catholics, know what social teaching is.
Exactly.
And what the different, like, what does human dignity mean? What does the preferential option for the poor mean? What does
solidarity,
subsidiarity, justice. Yeah. And we measured all that, and we found out that the highest term of understanding was around at just short of 30%. So imagine the lowest number of Catholics getting a concept of social teaching wrong was 70%. So everything else is more than 70% of American Catholics who don't understand what the Church actually teaches. And so back then, that was before 2012 when I came to CUA, we started to say, well, okay, so this has to change. And I myself was ignorant about many of these things for a long time. And so the business school of Catholic University, which didn't exist before 2012, was created by a few of us, led by Andrew Abella, who's the dean, the dean now. He was the founding dean. It was his idea, but then he found several of us to come together to build this business school. And so I had this great privilege to be one of the founding members, and I'm still holding on, I'm hanging in there, holding on. And our core idea is to stop teaching ethics and social teaching as a separate course, but to make it a part of every course.
So logical.
Yeah, it's just so logical, exactly.
It's so common sense.
But I think we're the first school who did it. And we felt that that should be the Pontifical University's approach to business school. And so we've been, since 2012. But the school itself, I think we only started officially like in 2015 or so. We're like 10 or 11 years old as a school. And this is why I invited you to meet our students. Just last September, we started the MBA. So we have a very established undergrad degree in business with all the usual specialties. But now, last fall, started our first cohort of MBA. We have an online MBA and we have an in-person MBA. And one of the things we're trying to do is to bring those students, even when they're online, together a couple of times. And one of the things we did this year is to bring them here to Rome. And that's when I introduced them to you.
Well, that was such a wonderful, stimulating evening. And the only bad part for me was not being able to sit down one-on-one with some of the students.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, they came up afterwards and we exchanged a few words and thoughts. And then I thought, I want to see them again. So maybe I'll have to darken a classroom at
You have a standing invitation. And what's beautiful is that you can tell that the students, and I think anywhere, if you present the teaching of the Church in that practical way, they will be attracted by it. This is something we seek, this approach to human excellence and collaboration between people and putting the human person in the center. Our hearts are wired that way. And so if you talk about it, you were, and you listeners probably know, John is so meticulous, also as a journalist, but also as a teacher. So she shows up and she has a whole list of recommendations of books and things to read, right?
Exactly.
Because she does her homework. And I loved it because one of the things you talked about is the compendium. I got a lot of. Go through your number. What did you recommend? Just so that other people can.
Going back, you mentioned already Rerum Novarum, because we have foundational papal encyclicals just on the social teaching of the Church, but that also incorporate the ideas of finance, business, etc. So Rerum Novarum. 40 years later, we had Pius the 11th. Quadragesimo anno. We go right on all the popes, right up to and through
Francis.
You know, Pope Francis. Yeah.
I look forward to what Leo started to talk a bit about AI, and I think he chose Leo not for no reason.
Yeah.
Because there are new things again.
His predecessor began the whole thing
exactly.
with Rerum Novarum.
And I'm very excited to see what Pope Leo is going to write in his first few encyclicals. I guarantee you, there's going to be a social encyclical on there.
Oh, sure. Mm-hmm. Following the, his namesake predecessor. What struck me as I was doing my research, so I could make some sense at this little panel, discussion we had. One of the first things I came across, almost the same day, was that notice from Geneva about the speech, and I thought, how amazing it should arrive at a moment when I'm kind of, you know, seeking that kind of affirmation. And then, a little bit earlier, there was an article in our Sunday Visitor, and it was talking about this precise thing. Catholic MBA programs see business as a force for good, blending doctrine and commerce. And again, it just goes back to, wait a minute, guys, that's common sense. Yeah. If it's for the common good, then it's got to be justice, it's got to be human dignity, there has to be solidarity, and subsidiarity, I'm not sure too many people know as much about that, which means you want the lowest possible level of something to enact a policy. So it can be instead of in a town, and then as you would go up, there would be the state, federal level.
Yeah.
But if something can be done at the local level, it should be done. You know, but they wrote, OSV said, it's the most popular graduate degree in the United States, a Master of Business Administration MBA. And there's no shortage of institutions at which to earn one. More than 500 American schools offer MBA. But for scholars seeking an MBA rooted in Catholic ethics and social teaching, there's now more choices because colleges are launching this this idea of marrying the two concepts. And so how do you start with a course in economics and yet you're bringing in all these values we just spoke about?
So I love to start with, you know, I wrote this book called The Art of Principled Entrepreneurship.
And yes.
And it has five pillars, and basically that book is a treaty in Catholic social teaching, but explained in a sense in a secular way. And the first pillar of principled entrepreneurship is the recognition or the statement, the economy exists for people, not people for the economy. And what I mean by that, and this is a this is the number one theme of Catholic social teaching, that we talk about people here, and numbers and anything else needs to be secondary. And I'll explain to you why. And if I explain this to any CEO, they immediately understand what I talk about. And this is why the MBA becomes so popular, and also the executive education, where they want to send their management to us. And here's the thing: today, an MBA and the approach to business is almost kind of formulaic, scientific, abstract. And it is prescriptive. It says, if this happens, you do that. And everything is sort of, in a sense, very impersonal. You know, it's just business
kind of
approach.
Yeah, lack of the human element.
And there's a lack of the human element. Therefore, the human person, and, you know, they talk about human resources, HR, what a terrible name for a department.
Never liked it.
And the humans become a means to an end.
A resource.
It's a means to an end. Now, let me ask you something. When I'm using somebody as a means to an end, they feel used. And if you're listening to this, if you are used by somebody, what's your reaction to that? The reaction to that is like when you push a horse. It pushes back.
Mm-hmm.
When we get used, we get at least disengaged, if not angry, because we, deep in our heart, we resent being used. The church says one of the most foundational things, the human person is a being to which the only acceptable approach to is love. That we have to appreciate the human person in front of us for their own sake, you know? And therefore, you should never, and the Catholicism preaches very clearly, you should never use a person as a means to an end. But in business, we, in a sense, have this practice from secular perspective of using people as a means to an end. That has a clear consequence. Gallup does research every year where they say, how engaged are employees at work? And look, when you're listening to this and you walk into one of the stores or a pharmacy somewhere or let's say a retailer, you know what I'm talking about. 75% of our employees are disengaged, meaning they just want to get home. Let's get this over with. I'm here from 9 to 5, not a minute more, I don't want to be here, but I have to be here. And that's the kind of sentiment where you have to go hunt somebody down to get help. Yeah. And when they give you answers, they could care less whether these answers are right or not. They just want this over with. That's a disengaged employee. 15% of our population of this is actively disengaged, meaning that they're trying to hurt the company.
Wow.
They actually don't want the company to succeed because they're now angry. And so they're hurting the company. Someone on the secular side, some people say, well, these are bad people. No, actually, these are not bad people. These are people reacting as people. When you're used to as a mean to an end, you get angry. You get resentful and disengaged.
Shove me, I'll shove you back.
Exactly. And this is what we have. So we have a good, between 75 and 80% of our population, of our working population, is disengaged at work. Catholic social teaching has an answer for that. If we put the person back in the center,
sure,
then we can actually say, I work with you, and my goal with you is your flourishing. My working with you, I want to build you up. I want you to reach the possibility of your humanity. And that possibility in a marketplace means that you create value for others through your God-given talents, through what God has given you. And if we collaborate with this, that will be a profitable endeavor. But it will also, at the same time, and I can never exclude that, involve your flourishing. So when we start to do business without including and insisting on human flourishing, we end up being counterproductive.
Sure.
And in a sense, cause employees to be disengaged and actively disengaged. I cannot tell you how many billions of dollars that costs our industry of people who just don't care anymore. And I think the secret, it's the best kept secret of Catholicism in business is Catholic social teaching.
Well, that's all the time I have today with Andreas as he talks about how many universities today are joining Catholic social teaching to their courses on business for an MBA degree. More next week on this fascinating concept.
For more information on these stories, or to check out Joan's blog and to ask her a question, go to EWTN.com. That's EWTN.com. Thanks for listening to Vatican Insider on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.